We're reading Psalm 27 this morning, which is the Psalm of David. So this is David crying out to the Lord, I think. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Get a quick show of hands who's nervous right now. Okay, good. There's some honest people over on the left. That's excellent. Who's really confident that they could deal with me popping this balloon, that that'd be fine? All right, what if I did it right up next to your head? Okay, so for the people who are nervous, if you had to have this popped next to you, if it had to happen, you know, like if your life depended on it, could you cope with that? And how would you cope with that? Have a think about that. How would you kind of tell yourself, it's all right, it's just a balloon, I'm not going to die? Because how we cope with things is actually what today's reading is about. David is talking about how he copes. David is talking about terrible dangers that confront him and the confidence that he has and who he seeks in times of trouble. David says that he copes because his confidence is in the Lord. Psalm 27 opens with verses about David's confidence. It starts off saying, even then I'll be confident. I know the Lord's with me and I know it's okay. And there's this crescendo of problems. He says, even if evil men advance against me, then it'll be all right. And if things get really bad, if a war breaks out, I'll still be confident that God is with me. Then he goes into a passage where he talks about seeking God in worship. Then he moves on to another section where the tone changes and he's talking about seeking God in those really difficult times. And then he finishes again talking about how he's confident. Confident that he will see the goodness of God. This is not David talking about how confident he is. This is not David boasting about his confidence. This is David saying, God is so trustworthy, God is so good, that because I have confidence in God, I won't be afraid no matter what. In my notes, I just had written God and daylight when I was preparing the sermon. I went, okay, I need to find a picture of daylight that will help people think about God and daylight. So I found this picture. And that's nice, isn't it? You know, yes, God sends all good things. God is in complete control of our universe. God sends even the daylight that we need to depend on. And then I remembered what I actually meant, and it was this. For David, God is such a great salvation. God is the light of his life. God is the stronghold. And he's so strong and so dependable that there's God and then there's daylight. God and daylight. It's always dangerous when you make notes and don't pay attention to them. Who is the light of your life? Where do you put your confidence? Because David is not confident that he will defeat anyone. He doesn't say, no matter what, people will come against me, but you know what, it'll be okay because I'll beat them. He says, when people come against me, they will stumble and fall because the God of the universe, that God who is in complete control, he will still be in control. They will stumble and fall. I will be okay. I will be confident because God is powerful. Now, listen to what Jesus said about where you should put your confidence and what you should treasure. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you hear the difference between the two places you can store your treasure? There's the place where you can be careful, but still moths will get to the stuff that perishes. And even the stuff that doesn't perish, well, it'll probably rust. And if you go with gold, because moths can't eat that, and it doesn't rust, someone will nick it. That's the reality of living in this world, isn't it? And yet Jesus says that we can put our treasure somewhere where none of that will get to it. Because there's God, and then there's daylight. And then there are the threats. Who and what do you have confidence in? Because David puts his confidence in God. That's where he starts. Now, because David's confidence is in the Lord, he seeks the Lord. There's a bit at the start of Aladdin. Aladdin finds a lamp in Disney's version, and this genie comes out and he says, "You've got three wishes." And Aladdin, of course, uses two of the wishes, and then he's got one wish left. Now, the thing is, he's made a promise to a friend, and so he needs that wish to keep the promise to the friend. But also, his other wishes have got him into a bit of trouble, and so he needs to use that wish to get himself out of the spot. And so there's this question, what is the one thing that Aladdin really wants? Because he's only got how many wishes left? One. Concentrates our attention wonderfully, doesn't it? David says, there is one thing that I ask of the Lord. This is the one thing that I seek. And so, what is it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. The one thing that David really wants is to be with God. He wants to be with God. He wants to do two things, to gaze upon the Lord and to seek him. He wants to look at God. He wants to ask God questions. He wants to consider God. He wants God to be the centre of his attention. That's what David wants. That's the one thing. Now, I think the spatial bit, the picture of being with God in his temple, I think that's a metaphor. Here is why I think that's a metaphor. David calls this place where he's going to be safe with God the house of the Lord. He calls it the temple. He calls it God's dwelling, or another word for that would be like a lair. He calls it his hiding place, the shelter, and his tent. So it's a house and a temple and a tent and a dwelling and a hiding place. And then he says that in the tent, he's going to be set high on a rock. Now, I worked out how that is physically possible. It's a metaphor. So, of course, the question then is, what is the metaphor? That's a really bad pun. Remind me not to say that at 6 o'clock. What is the meaning of this? What's this trying to get across? And I think what David is saying is he wants to be with God. He wants God's presence. He wants God's attention. He wants God's favour. Because with God, there is safety. God is with me. Who will I fear? Who can be against me? Who should I be afraid of if God is on my side? And so then David says, I'm seeking the Lord because my confidence is in the Lord. Notice the words that he uses. He says, this is the one thing I want for, or because, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe. He will keep me safe. He will hide me. He will set me high. And he says, then my head will be exalted. I will sacrifice. I will sing and make music to the Lord. So David says he trusts in God. He seeks God. He worships God because of his confidence in God. And then because of his confidence in God, he's able to worship God more. What this reminds me of is a hobby. Now, we've all got hobbies. One of mine is reading. I really like reading. I like reading the same way that some people who really need help like certain substances. I have trouble stopping. You know, have you ever, you know, all that checklist that addicts have to go through? Have you ever given up social occasions so that you could read more? Yes. Have you ever woken up in the morning and wished that you hadn't read quite so much the night before? Yes. Is it the first thing that you did in the morning before anything else was you started reading the thing you'd already been reading? Yep, that's me. I love reading. I don't think I can convince someone who doesn't like reading very much. You should read because you will get all these benefits from reading. You should read because it'll broaden your mind. You should read because you'll be able to use English words gooder. I don't think reading is like that. I think I love reading, and so I get some of the benefits of reading. I know people who love going out in their boat. I don't think for all of the apparent benefits of going out in a boat, that's going to be a hobby I'm going to take up anytime soon. I like being fit. I don't necessarily like getting fit. A friend of mine on Facebook the other day said, I went for a run. It was horrible. And I loved her more in that moment than I ever have before. For David, he doesn't worship God because he thinks, oh yeah, I'm going to get safety and security out of this. It's not an ulterior motive. It's not something that he does just so he can get the safety and the security. He loves God. He worships God. He longs to know God. And in longing to know God, he trusts that God will make it possible for him to keep doing that all the days of his life. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not an ulterior motive. He doesn't love God for the safety and security that God gives him, but he knows that God is faithful and God is going to make it possible for David to keep trusting God and keep being faithful to God. And so the one thing that he wants is to seek God. Now, we're all made for different hobbies. We all have different things that we like doing, but we're all of us made for worship. All of us are made to worship. And so our choice is to worship the God who made all the good things in the world, or to worship one of those good things. To love our library or our boat or whatever your particular thing is that you love. We can love God in the way that we deal with that, or we can love that thing. And David says, I just want God. I just want God. Now, lest we think that David is living some wonderful, detached, untroubled life where he lives in his palace and is completely unbothered by all of life, he says that he keeps trusting God in troubles. The tone changes in this next section. He starts talking to God. He says, my heart says of you, God, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I seek. He starts to plead with God. Don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Don't reject me or forsake me. And the troubles that he was having, that he was talking about at the start, yes, well, if people come against me, that'll be okay. Actually, the people are coming against him. Lead me in a straight path, he says in verse 11, because of my oppressors. Don't hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses do rise up against me, breathing out violence. And in the midst of those troubles, David seeks God. Now, I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite preaching this morning, because on Friday we had a bit of a personal crisis in our family. One of our daughters was sitting on a railing and went straight over backwards and landed on her head with a really lovely crunch noise. And I rushed off to get the car, and eventually we decided that, yeah, no, sore neck, blurry vision, yeah, probably time to ring an ambulance. We rang the ambulance, all that sort of thing. She's fine, it's okay. But I realised at the end of all of this that I didn't really spend very much time praying. I think I managed a tiny little prayer as I was running down the hill to get the car. But I didn't really seek God in my troubles. And so as I'm saying to you, seek God in your troubles, this is something I need to do too. I'm not saying it's easy, I'm saying it's hard. It's a habit that we need to get into. And I know that some of the saints here in this room have been doing it for a lot longer than I have and are a lot better at going, I'm in trouble, I need to pray. But David knew God. David trusted God. David, in his troubles, trusted God, and he knew that God came through for him. When David says, you have been my helper, in the middle of verse 9 there. This is David who, when he was a shepherd and dealing with wolves and bears and lions, knew that God was his helper then, trusted God, found that God was trustworthy. When he was a young soldier, trusted God and knew that God was trustworthy. When he was the king, trusted God and found that God was trustworthy. And so he can sing and we can learn, Lord, you've been my helper. Don't reject me. Don't forsake me, Lord. So David has this history that he's drawing on. And David has this knowledge of God's character that he's drawing on. He says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. He knows that God loves him even more than a father or a mother. That God is inhumanly loving. And because he knows that, David trusts God in troubles. Let me tell you a quick story about a different 000 call. This one I heard from a first aid officer. She was teaching a first aid course I was doing in Port Macquarie, and she said she knew a nurse. And this nurse lived around the corner from Mum and Dad in Port Macquarie, so everywhere in Port Macquarie is only 10 minutes away. The nurse got a call from Mum one day, oh, your dad's having a turn, can you come over? So she rushed over, there was Dad on the floor, and yes, Dad was having a heart attack, and so she began CPR, and as she's doing CPR, working very hard, she pauses at one point and sort of lifts up her head, and, oh my goodness, this ambulance is taking forever. And her mum went, oh no, I forgot to call the ambulance. Now, what was the point of that story? Call the ambulance was the point of that story. She told us the story so that when we were doing first aid, we would remember to call the ambulance. Call the ambulance. Pray to God in your troubles. Now, remember the balloon? This balloon is defective. That's better. When your brain senses a threat, when you think, oh my goodness, he's going to pop that balloon, it's going to make a tremendously loud noise. When your brain senses a threat, you tense up. This is not a choice that you make. It happens way, way down, right in the back of your brain, in the part of your brain that you share with lizards. I've got one too. It's okay. Without you making any decision on it, your breathing changes. Where your bloodstream goes around your body changes. It shifts from your stomach out to your arms and legs so that you're ready to run. You start to sweat a bit more. You're getting ready to fight or to run away. It's called your fight or flight response. Now, the thing is that you don't have a choice about that. But what you do have a choice about is what comes next. We went to a show in the holidays, two doctors who came out from England and did a show called Operation Ouch. Our kids love it. And these two doctors talked about overcoming that fight or flight response. One of them has to have a lot of injections as part of the research that he does. It's a lot easier to inject himself than to get permission to do it on other people. And so he has this technique where he smiles as he's having the injection. And he said that actually measurably reduces the amount of pain that he goes through, because the front of his brain is telling the back of his brain to calm down, it's not so bad. It actually works. Now, as we override our lizard brain, that might be just to stop ourselves from punching or shouting or retaliating or making things worse. It might be to stop ourselves from running away, either literally running away from something or metaphorically kind of, oh no, I can't possibly deal with that person, they freak me out. I can't deal with that difficult family situation, it's just going to go badly wrong. as we override and we think, no, actually, there's a more constructive response, there's a more creative thing that I should do, you know that that's what you need to do. I'm saying, as you're doing that, pray. Even as you're running, even as you're fighting, whatever it is that you need to do, do it prayerfully. When you feel your heart rate go and your breathing change and your circulation change, pray. Say, Lord, please help. I'm under stress here. When your child falls off a railing, pray. When you need to call the ambulance, pray. In his troubles, David trusted God and he sought God. Now, the last thing David says, he says twice. He says, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Now, I think seeking and waiting go together, don't they? There's really no sense in calling the ambulance if you're not going to wait for the ambulance. And likewise, there's really no sense in waiting for an ambulance that you haven't called. David was troubled, but he was still confident. Why? Because he'd sought God. And because he sought God's face, he said, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's a picture that takes us back to that idea of him worshipping God in the sanctuary, worshipping God in the temple, and knowing the beauty of God, knowing his safety with God, because he'll do this in the land of the living. And so he says, wait for the Lord. If you're facing troubles this week, then David's message to you is very clear, isn't it? He says, be strong. Not because you're particularly strong, but because God is the strongest. He says, take heart. Be encouraged that the God who loves you, the God who you trust in, cares about you and is faithful and trustworthy, and you can keep trusting him no matter what. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. As I was preparing this sermon, I found a passage in John which talks about being with God and there being a place for us. That talks about our hearts being troubled. And I found, oh yes, actually Jesus knows that our hearts get troubled. Jesus knows that he needs to go and prepare a place for us. Jesus, as he was going, promised his disciples that he would come back and that by his Spirit he would be with them forever. So this is God talking to us. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away, and I am coming back. Jesus is with you. Take heart. Be strong. And wait for the Lord. Amen. Thank you.